Sidebar every Monday to Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
It is a very good evening to you. It's just gone 2 minutes after seven. You are listening to Kaya FM 95.9. This is the home of the Afropolitan, and you are listening to Sidebar with Dr. Cindy Van Zyl. My name is Sotume, and I'm in for Dr. Cindy Van Zyl, who's still at home, still recovering, and getting her health back in order. It is a Tuesday evening, and today we are talking relationships, and I think this is one of the more difficult and more complex kind of relationships, because we are talking about child custody and what it means when two parents are no longer together, whether via divorce or they were never really together, whether it was just a relationship that went sour. But either way, you've got two parents now that are probably not agreeing in terms of custody. And in most cases, it's also very much tied to maintenance as well. It's almost as if the two go hand in hand. So that's what we're talking about today. If you've got any questions that you would like to put forward to us, we're going to be joined on the line by a family lawyer. Her name is Cheryl Webb, and she's just basically going to be talking us through this entire process of custody as well as maintenance. So you're more than welcome to join in on the conversation. The number to dial is 086-000-00959. I will repeat the number. It is 086-000-00959. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, maybe you'd like to share your story, maybe you're looking for some advice, maybe you just want to understand what your rights are as a parent when it comes to custody.
Because a conversation a day is exactly what the doctor ordered. Sidebar with Cindy. Every Monday to Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
It is now 3 minutes after 7. You're listening to Kaya FM 95.9. You are listening to Sidebar with Dr. Cindy Van Zyl. My name is Sotomayor. And of course, I am standing in for Dr. Cindy. And joining me on the line, as I did say earlier on, is Cheryl Webb, who is a family lawyer. And she just joins us to chat to us about custody, about custody battles, maintenance, and basically what your rights are as a parent if you're looking for some advice. Cheryl, thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening to you. I just need to rectify something. I'm actually not a family lawyer. I work for the family law clinic.
For the family law
clinic. Yes. Correct.
Oh, great stuff. But you are able to give us advice and just walk us
Absolutely.
Through. And exactly. So, Grace, you're just the person that we're looking to speak to. So, Cheryl, first before we start, I suppose there are very common cases that you see, the most common issues when it comes to child custody cases.
Okay, involving child custody, what people don't understand in South Africa, you know, they're all screaming, I want custody of my child. South African law, and especially the Children's Act, defined it very clearly that both parties, in other words, both parents, have equal rights and responsibilities. Therefore, they have shared guardianship, with one parent being the primary carer, and the other parent having visitation rights. So we need to actually clear that up. The case where one parent gets a sole guardianship mm-hmm. is extremely rare in South Africa. You know, everybody's screaming for it. It really, really happens. So we need to clear that up so that people actually get the terminology actually mm-hmm. correct out there. You know, and the big factor is they need to realize it's shared. Mm-hmm. No matter what they do, it's shared.
Okay. And Cheryl, what determines or who determines who the primary caregiver is? Because I'm guessing the primary caregiver is obviously the one that the child lives with the most, right? And then the other parent is...
Correct.
The so who and how do you determine who becomes the primary caregiver?
Well, it's based on many variables, and it's normally... underseen by the family advocate, which is actually a free service in South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure, but Cheryl, I think we're not hearing you properly. I'm not sure what is happening with the line. It sounds a little bit muffled.
So, what actually
happens is that... Hi, Cheryl.
Please, yes?
Yes, we're still having a bit of trouble hearing you. Can you try again?
Okay. And the offices of the family advocate mm-hmm. will determine where the child will stay. Mm-hmm. But it's based on plenty of variables. And the variables include things like the age of the child. Mm-hmm. For instance, a younger child might be far more dependent on its mother as opposed to the father. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't push the father out of the picture, because there's many fathers that get given the children from as little as 6 weeks old. Mm-hmm. you know, so that's one of the variables. The other variables is stability, the type of hands-on parent, what that parent can offer that child at that particular time of its life. So it's not to say that just because the mother has the primary care that the father's a bad father, or if the father has primary care, the mother is a bad mother. That's not the case. It's where the child's, most of the child's needs and emotional needs are being met at that particular time of its life.
Okay, so that determines who will be the primary caregiver.
Correct.
And what happens in an instance where it's just one parent? The other parent doesn't want or it does not show any interest in being involved. You can go ahead, yes.
Okay, what happens if I have lots of mothers that approach me and say, I want the father to give up its rights. Or a father will approach me and say, you know what, I'm having too many problems with the mother of my child. I want to dissolve my rights. You can't dissolve your rights as a parent. You can't go to a court and say, I no longer want to be a father, or I no longer want to be the mother. If that happens, the child will be put in the care of the parent that wants the child, but it doesn't dissolve the other person's rights. It doesn't dissolve that the other person's responsibility towards that child. So, really, if you don't want to see your child, your responsibility is going to be a financial one towards that child until that child finishes its tertiary education.
Okay, well, if you're just joining us, it is 8 minutes after 7. You're listening to Kaya FM 95.9. You're listening to Sidebar with Dr. Cindy Fansale. My name is Sotomayor, standing in for Dr. Cindy. And we are talking about child maintenance as well as child custody. And we are joined on the line by Cheryl Webb, who's basically walking us through what it means to have shared custody, what it means to want to have shared custody, but you are unable to, basically everything that you need to know about custody as well as maintenance. And she joins us, of course, from the Family Law Clinic, and she's got all the expertise to help us navigate this topic. So, Cheryl, I mean, I think it's very interesting when you talk about the fact that, you know, that you cannot absolve or dissolve your rights as a parent.
Correct.
And there's many people that over the years have tried or want the other parent to basically give up their rights. I'd like us to explore that topic a bit more. But we do have a couple of callers that want to have a chat to you and maybe ask you one or two questions about their own situations. Good evening. How are you? Hello? Hi, caller. Hello? Okay.
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Sotu. You're speaking to Sipati. And hi, Cheryl. I have a bit of a situation on my end.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a young child. She's a toddler. And the father of my child is an African foreign national, so in a way, I feel a bit stuck when it comes to just understanding what or to what extent South African law applies to him. If I can, pursue any legal action when it comes to supporting the little one, and I suppose that's the starting point for me.
Okay. Cheryl, I'm sure you heard that,
I did.
What happens when the father of the child is not South African?
Well, the child is born in South Africa, so therefore it's a South African citizen by birth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the same, remember the law applies most of the time to the child, not actually to the parent.
Mm-hmm.
And what the law actually says, the child has a right to have a relationship with both its parents. It doesn't say, it doesn't define whether that parent is a citizen of South Africa or not.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the mother can pursue things like a parenting plan in court. She can pursue maintenance. If the father goes back to its country of birth, she can, if they're part of the Hague Convention, she can pursue maintenance from the father in that country. So yes, the child still has all these rights.
Okay, so is it just a matter of her actually going through the South African maintenance court? It's actually not that complicated.
Correct. And also through the children's court. If she's not married to the father,
mm-hmm.
Whether they're on good standing or not, I would still recommend that if they're on good standing, going to the family advocate, setting up an appointment for mediation and to mediate a parenting plan. if they are no longer together, to actually approach the children's court, which is a free service, mm-hmm. and they complete a form 2 for a parenting plan to be set up.
Okay. Supati, I hope you got that. Do you have any other questions?
Yeah. I may just send a message via social media, but I think for now I'm clear. Thank you so much, Cheryl.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us, Supati. Thank you. Well, if you're just joining us, it is 12 minutes after 7. You're listening to Kaya FM 95.9. This is the home of the Afropolitan. You're listening to Sidebar with Dr. Cindy Van Zyl. Normally, we'll be with Dr. Cindy Van Zyl. But today, my name is Sotume, and I'm standing in for Dr. Cindy. And we are talking about maintenance, as well as talking about child custody. And more importantly, we're talking about what it is that's more important and which should be the rights of the child. But in many instances, in many cases, I think, Cheryl, that sort of gets blurred out because you get two parents or two people that are fighting, and in some instances actually families that are involved.
Correct.
And we miss out the most important factor, which of course is the child that's usually caught in the middle. And we've got taking your calls. If you'd like to ask Cheryl some questions, the number to dial is 086-00-00959. You're more than welcome to also drop us an SMS one at 36959, and of course that is at a cost of R1.50. We've got Thuli giving us a call, also wanting to ask you some questions, Cheryl. Thuli, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, so I wanted to find out. I have a 5-year-old, and his dad hasn't been present much. He doesn't help financially. I basically do everything on my own. So, you know, I've heard from a couple of people that even if I wanted to take my child on holiday overseas, mm-hmm. I would need his permission. But sometimes I don't even know where this person is or how to get a hold of him. So I just think it's really unfair for me to need his permission when mm-hmm. it comes to making decisions about my child, when I can't even get a hold of him. And now I'm hearing that, you know, you can't dissolve mm-hmm. parental rights. So what does a mother do in a situation like that?
Oh, no. Please stay on the line, Thuli. Cheryl, you got that, right?
I did get that. Mm-hmm. What we have is something that can be done in children's court that's called restriction of rights, or you can do a high court application, which if the father has had no contact with the child for 12 months or more and has not financially supported the child, the mother can approach the High Court. She's going to have an attorney to do it for her. Mm-hmm. And what she needs to do is to do a notice of motion for child abandonment. Uh-huh. In other words, the father has actually abandoned the child, both physically and financially. Mm-hmm. And then the court will, he will be served a notice of motion to appear in court. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't appear, obviously a decision will be made in absentia. If he does appear, it will then be referred to the offices of the family advocate that will do a full investigation as to why he lacks this interest and why he's not supporting the child. And it could very much work in the mother's favor where then not necessarily the father's rights are removed, but the mother will get full guardianship, mm-hmm. but there will still be a window opened or a door left open, that if the father does want to participate in the child's life at a later stage, he can. But that order will be very specific. It will say the mother would not require the father's consent if it wants to go to holiday overseas. Mm-hmm. It will not require the father's consent with regards to religious instruction and school. There will be very specific things listed on there where those rights, those certain rights, will be removed.
Okay. We had
but not everything.
But you can get some sort of some sort of control
and
over.
It's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Very expensive.
Is this for the mother to do that, or for the parent that is responsible? Is it very expensive for the
person that brings the application? Mm-hmm. The attorney's account is going to be for her account.
Uh huh. So this is not a free service at all.
This, unfortunately, it's not a free service in High Court. Mm-hmm. At Children's Court, you do have something called a restriction of rights. Mm-hmm. Not every court has been given this mandate to do it. So, you know, you can go and do it via Form 2 at Children's Court, mm-hmm. but the magistrate can say, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to refer it to the High Court.
To the High Court, okay.
Yeah, but there are some magistrates that have been given this power where they can restrict the father's rights.
Okay. Sorry, Cheryl, you were still saying?
Sorry, not every children's court has that mandate to do it.
Has that mandate. Tuli, I hope you got that. Apparently it'll be very expensive, but, you know, it's something that might be worth pursuing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for joining us. We're still taking your calls. The number to dial is 086-000-0959. You can drop us an SMS at 36959. And, of course, we are taking your calls, talking about child maintenance as well as talking about the custody of your children, especially if you're feeling like you're stuck, you're not sure what it is that you can do in order to be able to move through that custody battle that you might be having. Joining us on the line, we've got Cheryl Webb, who is from a family law clinic, and she's just basically giving us the ins and outs of what it means when we are talking custody. We've got Tabo giving us a call. Tabo, good evening, and thank you so much for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks, and you, Tabo?
Good. I have been in this family custody and the custody of my child. So I'm currently employed by the government. So what they did before at the children's court, they said I owe a certain amount of money, which I paid through my earnings. And what happened was that there was a court order that said I must actually, for communication, should start calling my son on his phone. So, which I bought him a phone.
How old is your son? Sorry if you don't mind, me asking. How old is your son?
He's turning 9 the next month.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so he's turning 8 next month. Okay. So now he's staying in another province, and I'm in Joburg. So the mother of my son he works in court. So I've been supporting my child, and I stopped because she denied me access. And the court order said I must basically see my son each and every month to build a relationship, because I've been denied access since from then.
Okay.
So now, the court now is sending an order to my employer that they want to get money from my wages, whereas I don't have the access to my child.
Okay.
So I don't know, should I go back to the court and ask?
Okay, we're going to try to get Tabo again. Ernest, our producer, is going to try to get Tabo again on the line. But Cheryl, you know, this is a very...
I'm listening to what he's saying. Unfortunately, this is a common problem in South Africa, and something that a lot of the fathers don't understand. Maintenance court and children's court are two entirely different entities.
Okay.
If the father is being denied his right to see the child, he needs to pursue that in children's court. But he cannot withhold maintenance.
At all.
Okay, because not at all. Remember, when you take him to maintenance court, there is a court order in place. The minute he stops paying, it's contempt of court. And it actually puts him in a worse standing, because he's now stopped paying. What he should do, the minute the mother refuses contact, he should have immediately approached the children's court, completed a Form 2 with an affidavit stating that the mother is refusing him contact with the child. The mother will be called into court. She will be summoned into court, a social worker will be appointed, and a parenting plan will be done. And that will then be made a court order.
Okay.
If she does not comply with that court order, he goes back to court. And she can eventually lose primary care. I've seen it happen on quite a few occasions where the mother loses primary care, and the primary care has been given to the father because the mother refuses to adhere to that court order.
Okay. So the first thing he needs to do is make sure that he's up to date with his maintenance, because that...
Absolutely.
Because that already puts him in bad standing with the court if he's owing maintenance.
Yeah, because you know what? A child, whether you've seen your child or not, it still has to be fed. It still has to be clothed. It still has to go to school, et cetera, et cetera. So you're actually neglecting that child by not paying that maintenance.
Okay.
So the minute the mother, you know, the father takes the mother to children's court, the first thing she screams, he doesn't pay his maintenance. And the court goes, oh boy.
Okay. So, and you need to make sure that she doesn't have that leg to stand on.
She must have no reason to stand on. She must not have, when you go in there, you've got to have a nice, clean slate. And in fact, it's very much looked at, and it's starting to be recognized in South Africa the last few years, something called parental alienation with hostile and aggressive parenting. In other words, the mother or the parent that has the child in its care alienates the child from the other parent by using hostile and aggressive parenting, saying things like, your father's a bad man, he doesn't pay his maintenance, he doesn't phone you, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. Meantime, the father is phoning, but the mother switches the cell phone off, or she declines the call. That's all part of hostile and aggressive parenting, and to alienate and break the bond between the father and the child. And it's a common thing.
All right, Cheryl, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we still have loads of calls for you. Tabo, I hope you got that from Cheryl. You must pay your maintenance so that you can have a claim, so you can stake a claim to your child. And then after that, you have full rights to go and approach the court. I hope you got that.
Okay, no, I got that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for giving us a call. Tabo Kinsani, we see your call. When we come back, we're going to be taking your call with Cheryl. Whatever question it is that you would like to ask, if you're just joining us, 23 minutes after 7. And, of course, you're listening to the Home of the Afropolitan. We are talking child maintenance as well as talking about custody and what your custody rights are as a parent.
Sidebar with Dr. Cindy on Kaya FM 95.9.
It is 25 minutes after 7. You are still listening to Sidebar with Dr. Cindy Fanciel. My name is Sutumer, and I'm standing in for Dr. Cindy. And we are still having a chat to Cheryl Webb, who joins us on the line, and she's from Family Law Clinic. And of course, we are taking your calls on 086-00-00959. We are talking about child maintenance as well as custody battle, child custody, which sometimes, you know, it's sort of intertwined, but other times, you know, as Cheryl explain to us, that it's two completely separate things. There's child maintenance court and there is, you know, custody court. It's completely different things. They are not, you know, completely linked. Kinsani, you've been holding on. Thank you so much for joining us. Good evening.
Hey, good evening. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. And you, Kinsani? Kinsani? Hi, Kinsani.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you. Thank you.
Okay, all right. I just need clarity from Cheryl. What happens in an instance where a child, a parent is given primary care of the child, and then the child decides, no, now I want to go stay with daddy or with that instance?
Okay.
Yes.
I can't hear you properly, but I think I get the gist of what you're saying. Cheryl, what happens if you've got the primary care and then the child says, nope, I don't want to stay with you?
That actually often happens, especially when the child reaches the ages between 10 and 14, especially if you look, perhaps it's a girl child living with dad, you know, and she's now entering into her teenage years. She would be more comfortable being with mom, you know, or if it's a boy child, when he reaches the 10 to 14 year age, he might want to live with dad, obviously to get them through the teenage years. Now, the parents can either agree on that, okay? They can sit down around the table and say, you know, yes, I have primary care, but we're going to be adults about this. You know, he's going to come and say about you, and if dad's willing to take him or mom's willing to take her or whatever the scenario is, and they come to an agreement. They can then take that agreement to children's court, and it can be stamped by the magistrate because they have now come to their own agreement. If it's the case where the child is refusing to go to the other parent, or the one parent, let's start off with the one parent doesn't want the child to go to the other parent and the child is asking, one would have to approach children's court and a social worker appointed to find out why the child wants to go and live with the other parent. And also, sometimes, you know, it depends on maturity and the age of the child. It does have a voice, and that voice is heard. Okay. But then there's also the scenario where some children just want to go live with the other parent because they think, well, if I go and live with mom or if I go and live with dad, whatever the scenario is, I can do as I please because there's very little control there. So those things have to be looked at. But yes, if a parent can come to an agreement, it could take a lot of pressure off the courts. And also, they need to be adults. They're parents. You know, they doesn't matter how toxic their relationship with prior to them splitting up, everybody's moved on.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to focus on the child now and do what is best for the child, not what's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And sit down like adults and be adult about it.
Mm-hmm.
And actually come to an agreement.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Cheryl. Ken Sunny, you got that?
Right.
Hi, you got that. Any more questions? Yes, or are you fine?
No, thank you. I'm fine. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much. We're still taking your calls on 086-00-00959 if you'd like to ask Cheryl Webb a question. She's from Family Law Clinic, and we're talking about custody as well as maintenance. John giving us a call. Thank you so much for joining us, John.
Yes. Hello, Cheryl. I just want to pose, I've gone through all the processes, no?
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I've got a court order with me. Question is, when the mother plays the normal games, even when I have the court order, what do I do? Do I present the court? I know that I have to exercise my right by going to. I know that court order can pick up the police, go to her house,
mm-hmm.
and she can be arrested in contempt of court. But the question is, then how do I do that? Because the child is there. I pitch up with the police because she's in contact, she's contravening,
mm-hmm.
and then she gets picked up with a van. Then what does that do to a child?
For your child. And when you say normal games,
so what's the recourse? What is the law helping the dead? Not even me. They're not helping me. Remember, whatever that I'm exercising, I'm also trying to assist the rights of my child.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? So you know what I end up doing? I end up pulling back, because then I'm asking myself, what is correct? This may not be correct,
mm-hmm.
as well for the child to experience her mom being arrested because she's contravening.
Okay.
Then I end up holding. Yeah.
Okay, let's hear from Cheryl. But I just want to ask you quickly, when you say normal games, you're saying you're not getting full access to your child, right? That's what you mean?
Yeah, look, I wasn't getting full access of the child, and I exercised all those processes that Cheryl has been explaining, so I understand all of that. I've gone through that. I even now the magistrate has given me a court order saying now you have access and you can exercise this right.
Okay, let's hear from Cheryl. Cheryl, what happens? He's got a court order, he's got everything, he's done maintenance, he's done it all, but he doesn't want to be in a situation. Yeah.
He goes back to the children's court and tells them she is not complying with the court order. The magistrate will call her in and want to know why, and he will give her a warning. The other thing he can also do is the original social worker that helped to set up a parenting plan,
mm-hmm.
get into contact with him or her, advise them of what is going on. They have the right to call the mother in and to tell her that if she doesn't comply, that he is then going to apply for primary care.
Okay, so you got that, Anna John?
I see, I got that. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much for giving us a call. David as well, thank you so much for joining us, and good evening. David?
Good afternoon. Hi, ladies.
Hi, how are you, David?
Good, in yourself?
Good, thank you.
I'd like to ask a question to Cheryl. You've heard, Cheryl?
She can hear you. It's just, you know, she can hear you.
100%.
Yeah.
And that's right. In instances of now the dad losing his job through whatever reasons, whether be it the pandemic or whatever, but the dad loses his job, and then, well, not even the dad, me, myself, I lost my job,
mm-hmm.
and then I was unable to
pay maintenance?
My commitment financially.
Yeah.
I'm about to run out of airtime now. Sorry. I lost
David,
my
you said something about airtime. Should I put you back to my producer so he can give you a call?
Please.
Okay, I'm going to put you back to my producer and he's going to give you a call. In the meantime, I'm going to take another call. Teppo, thank you so much for giving us a call. Good evening.
Hey, evening to you and your listeners. How are you guys doing?
We're good, thanks. And you, Teppo?
I'm all right, thank you.
Mm.
So, apologies, I just walked in the car now. I've just started and I'm listening to the topic.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a question. I'm currently going through a divorce process,
mm-hmm.
and I am fighting for full shared custody, right?
Okay.
I have been to the social workers /family advocate's office.
Mm-hmm.
It has gone in my favor in terms of they have ruled to say 50-50 custody.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to go through countless hurdles from drug tests to alcohol testing to accusations and whatnot. Right now, when the divorce is supposed to be finalized because custody has been decided,
mm-hmm.
My ex-partner is trying to bring up situations of, no, the kids will not do this. So basically, she's re-challenging the decision that was made.
Okay.
I just want to find out, how do I bring the matter to a conclusion?
Okay. Cheryl, you heard that?
The matter will be concluded on the date of divorce. The family advocate has made their recommendations. Social workers have done their bit. The recommendations has gone forward to either the magistrate or the judge, depending on which court you're getting divorced.
Mm-hmm.
His attorney can now do a notice of set down, which means get a court date for the actual divorce to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And 99.9% of the time, the magistrate or the judge takes the recommendations that the family advocate and the social worker has made and makes that a court order. And that is the best way of actually resolving the issue. She can stand in court there and bring her lawyer and challenge the family advocate or the social worker. She is more than welcome to do that. It's very, very rarely that it's ever changed.
Okay, so does it mean that he must just hang tight right now until the matter is finalized, the divorce is finalized?
Absolutely, and the quicker he gets his divorce on the court roll, the better for him.
Okay, okay.
Can I interrupt?
Yes, please.
My issue is the family advocates and social workers have made their findings, have ruled on their findings. She has now dragged us, me and both the kids, back to the family advocate's office to say, I disagree with what you as the family advocates have put down,
mm-hmm.
and I want it re-looked at.
Okay, my understanding, and I could be wrong, I'll ask Cheryl again, but my understanding is that until the divorce is finalized, that's when the matter will be final. So your divorce is not finalized yet, is it?
No, it's not. Only because of this custody issue.
Okay.
Which she keeps re-challenging over and over, you know?
Okay, so
Once the family advocate has made recommendations, they really review it. Unless she is able to bring something to the table that's detrimental to the father.
Mm-hmm.
She cannot challenge shared guardianship.
Mm-hmm.
That is the law in South Africa. That will never change. What she can challenge is if the father has been given primary care.
That's what she's challenging. My understanding from TAP was that she's challenging that he's been given the primary care.
Primary care.
Mm.
And then she would have to bring very valid reasons to the table why the father should not be given primary care. And she has the right to ask for it to be reviewed. Mm-hmm. But once it's been reviewed, that's the end.
Okay. Okay. Tapu, you got that, right?
Sorry, just, I know that other...
There are very many calls, yeah.
Just a correction. It was actually for full-blown shared custody, 50-50 straight across the middle. And that's what he's challenging. Both primary and I'd be given that type of custody where I see the kids once every 2 weeks on a weekend or something.
Okay, from what I get, she cannot challenge that. Just you need to let the law sort of take its course, you know. Yeah, let the courts do what they have to do.
All right, great stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for joining us, Tapo. I'm going to take David. I see all your calls. We're going to take each and every single one of your calls. But let me take David before we go to break, because he was with us a little earlier on. David, thank you so much for joining us again. David?
Thank you so much for calling me back.
Yes, it's a pleasure. Mm.
So as I was saying, I'll just try and summarize it because of your call queue.
Yeah.
I have a 10-year-old daughter.
Mm.
She's turning 10 this year.
Mm.
I've been with her since she was born. And that was when I was still working. And then I lost my job for about 2.5 years, or maybe 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was denied access thereafter.
In those 2 years that you were unemployed?
Yes.
Okay.
And not necessarily denied access, but things changed for me in terms of communication with the mother and my child.
Okay.
So it was more difficult to communicate with them, and they sort of blocked me out.
Okay.
Well, she blocked me out. And now that I have a job now, I'm back on track, and I've been paying my
monthly, maintenance,
maintenance, and everything is fine. We're communicating with the baby mother, and everything is fine. But now I went to court the other day due to the fact that she came to over to my mother's house, which is the grandmother's child.
Okay.
She came with the police there, and then the police advised me to go to court. The court called me, and they said,
why did she come to your mother's house with the police?
Because she felt that I was not communicating with her, and her parents are communicating well with me, and I communicate well with their parents.
Okay.
With her parents.
Okay. So the problem now is what, David? Is it that you don't have access to the child, or what is the problem now?
The problem is now, it's not a problem actually, it's a question, and asking for Cheryl's opinion that I have a date now coming soon on the 16th of March. And now that things are fine with me and the mother, but still I'm still hesitant because I don't trust her, you know, with how she did things. The only reason why I went to court is because that's what the police advised me to do when she came here with them.
Okay.
When she came to my mother's house with them. So should I still go to court and maybe get it clear and done with, or should I hold back, or what? And was it right for her to do, to cut me out of my child's life because I can't pay, or what?
Okay, so the most important thing is if you want to know if you should pursue the court and make sure that you've got a definite, you know, things in writing, that things are solid there in writing.
Yes.
Okay, let's get Cheryl. Cheryl?
Okay, two factors. When a father loses his job or whatever happens and he can no longer afford to pay the full maintenance or he can't pay maintenance at all and there's a court order, the first thing he must do is go to the maintenance court and fill in a form either asking for a reduction of maintenance or maintenance relief due to the fact that he is no longer employed.
Okay.
A lot of men don't know that. So they stop paying maintenance, and it can become extremely frustrating for the woman.
Mm-hmm.
So, and not only that, by the time he does find employment, he's sitting with all this arrear maintenance that he's got to backdate. Instead of getting a reduction or relief from that maintenance.
Okay, and he wants to know whether or not he should pursue the courts in terms
Pursue the court. Because as I told you before, maintenance court and family court or children's court are two separate courts. You may not withhold contract for a straight visit with the child due to the fact that maintenance is not being paid.
Okay. I'm going to take a short break now, Cheryl, and we come back with more calls. David, I hope you got that, Annie.
100%. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I see your calls, Takani, James, Samge, Tebo, and everybody else that's calling. I'm going to try to squeeze absolutely each and every single one of you in. I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, we continue talking to you. We still carry on taking your calls on 086-000-959, and we are talking about maintenance as well as custody. Tebo, thank you so much for holding on, and good evening. Tebo?
Yes, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'll try to be short as much as
yes,
I can.
Yes, please.
Okay, my problem is that I've got a daughter, of which is 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I do support her financially, meaning, okay, I pay for transport, I buy clothes for her. Okay, so the only problem that I've got is the mother. When I call her and ask for a child, she will tell me that no, she can't give me the child without her presence. But when I ask the question, why is that?
Oh, she wants supervised visits where she supervises you.
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay.
But I don't know what's the reason for that.
Okay, let's hear from Cheryl. Cheryl, here's a mother that wants to supervise the visitations.
The mother can't decide whether the father should get supervised visits or not. Only a court can decide that. So the best thing for him is to go to children's court, do a Form 2, normal procedures, as explained it before.
Mm-hmm.
The social workers will then be determined if the father should have supervised visits or not. The only time supervised visits are put into place is if the father has been estranged from the child,
mm-hmm.
so he's a stranger to the child, and it's only for a short period because it's a form of reunification and reintroducing that person to the mm-hmm. child and to build up that bond. And the other time is if the father is a threat to that child. Mm-hmm. In other words, the father puts the child in imminent danger or is in danger of hurting the child.
Mm-hmm.
So it's extreme circumstances where a supervised visit should take place.
Okay, so he must take this to children's court.
Absolutely.
Okay, Tepo, you got that, Annie?
Yes. Much better.
Thank you very much, Tepo. Tsakani, you've been holding on for so long. Thank you so much for holding.
Okay, hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks, and you, Tsakani?
I'm good. I want to ask, I have a 3-year-old daughter, and I've separated with the mom, and I haven't seen the child for a year now, and I'm supporting the child. And then I went to the court to file, to report it.
Mm-hmm.
And then due to the pandemic, it's been postponed every time. And every time when we go there, she's like, she will give me the opportunity to come and see the child. But when I do the arrangement, she doesn't want to give me that access. I don't know how to go about that.
Okay, Cheryl?
Okay, this is the father that's in the process of divorce. So they separated. What he can do is he shouldn't have gone to court because he's still legally married to the mother. What he should have gone is setting up appointment with the offices of the family advocate to mediate a parenting plan, which would be effective until such time as he actually gets divorced. That's what he should have done, because by going to children's court and now with COVID and everything, the cases are going to be postponed. His better bet would have been to have gone to the offices of the family advocate.
Okay, I didn't get the part where you said, let's just check with him. Tsakani, you said you are still married or you're getting a divorce?
We were not married.
You were not married. Okay, so Cheryl,
so
they're not married.
He said he was separated.
I think he meant that they broke up, yeah.
Okay, then he's gone to children's court.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, due to COVID and various things, the courts were closed for mm-hmm. a period of time. Lots of court cases, unfortunately, have been delayed, and there is a backlog. This is not the normal circumstances,
mm-hmm.
but unfortunately, this is reality of what is actually happening at this moment. And also, the social workers haven't really been taking on new work
mm-hmm.
Because of COVID-19. Hopefully we are coming to a stage now where, you know, the courts are trying to catch up with the backlog and the social workers as well. It's an unfortunate thing. The only thing I could recommend right now, and if he has money, he can do an urgent application at High Court to have access to his child. That would be his only recourse. It would happen quicker.
Okay, Tsakani, you got that?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you so much for giving us a call, Tsakani. Thabo, thank you so much for holding on. Thabo?
Hello.
Hi, okay, good thing in you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Mm.
I have a question, eh?
Mm.
On my situation, I have a 4-year-old son, his mother left him with me.
Your line is a bit better. You've got a 4-year-old son, yeah? And then he lives with his mother.
His mother left him at home.
Oh, my word. This is so bad. Yeah. Let's try again. Okay, you've got a 4-year-old son. You and the mother are no longer together, yes?
Yeah, no longer. And the mother left him when he was 2 years old. It was 2018.
So the mother left him with you?
No, he left him.
Oh, you know what, Thabo? I'm going to put you back to our producer because it's going to be very difficult for Cheryl to help you when the line is so bad. But I promise you, I'm going to make sure that we fit you in. I'm going to put you back to my producer, Ernest. Okay, let's take Samge. Let me try that again. Samge, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. And you?
I'm okay. So I'm just going to be short, right? Mine is, I think, slightly different to all the questions we've had. So currently the situation is that me and my baby daddy are separated,
mm-hmm.
and he's supporting the child. But I feel like what he's giving me is not sufficient, you know,
okay.
because we both work, but, you know, I get paid like way less than him. And fortunately for me, I actually know how much he gets paid. Okay, I don't know what his expenses and everything are. Mm-hmm. So what I want to know is that, you know, is there any
an increase
for us, like, to actually go and say, I don't know how much, what his expenses are. I don't know, you know, his life, but I feel like I should be getting more than what I'm getting. For example, like, the fees are like maybe 500. He'll give me less than what the fees are, and that's it. And then the rest I have to figure out.
Okay,
so what I want to know is that cost implications, what are the steps? Do I need to have a lawyer, or can I just, you know, is there a way to actually approach the whole thing? So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Cheryl, can she get a review of the maintenance order?
Yes, absolutely. She just goes back to children's court, to maintenance court.
Mm-hmm.
She fills in a form for an increase of maintenance.
And it's that simple. And then they will look at what the expenses are.
They will call it in. They'll give her a sheet where she fills in all expenses. They'll determine what is fair maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get the father in. They will look at his income, his expenditure, and if there's unnecessary expenditure, they'll tell him to get rid of it,
mm-hmm.
and they will come to an arrangement that is fair and reasonable.
Okay, Samke, you got that, Annie?
Okay, yes, I did. Sorry, I actually forgot to mention that I had never done any, I've never taken him to court or anything. So.
Oh, so this is just a verbal agreement between the two of you?
Yeah, it's just a verbal agreement. That's what she said. Okay. So what happens is he said, we're going to split 50-50 everything. And I felt like it was unfair because, you know,
he gets more.
The child is staying with me, and he does get more. So I don't know, you know.
Okay, Cheryl. So they don't have an agreement, but she feels like she's not getting enough.
Yeah, she should go to maintenance court because what normally happens? Say, I'm speaking hypothetically now. Say she earns 5,000 rand a month, and he's earning 20. The maintenance then should be she pays 1/4 and he pays 75%.
Uh huh. Okay.
Okay. That's how in reality, that's how it actually should work. In reality, it doesn't always work like that. But that would be fair maintenance.
Okay.
So each pays a pro rata according to their income.
Okay. Cheryl, I'm just going to let Samke go because I'm really trying to squeeze everybody in that wants to have a chat to you. Thabo, please make it quick. Thabo.
Hello,
Hi, yes.
That's what I was saying. I have a four-year-old son, whom on 2018, his mother left him at my place when he was 2 years old. So I had to find someone to take care of the son while I was at work.
Mm-hmm.
So I've managed to skip work and try to get hold of social workers and try to... talk with the lady because he left the son without no clothes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the social worker said to the mother, she must write an affidavit saying he's giving me the child that I can take care of the child. So he will see him weekends and when she's off at work.
Okay.
So now the thing is, he wants to see the child whenever she wants to see the child. When I visit, when I give him the child to visit, sometimes I have to run after him,
to get the child back.
To get the child back.
Okay.
When I don't do that, he keeps the child. And while the social worker said strictly,
okay, Friday, so I'm trying to make this as quick as possible so we can fit in James. Let's just hear from Cheryl. Cheryl, yes?
Okay. Social worker is very wrong. You cannot sign your child over on affidavit.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong, bad advice. I know the social worker is not doing it. It's not legal.
Mm-hmm.
He should have, when the child was left in his care, he should have immediately gone to children's court, completed a form to say that the mother has left the child in his care and he wants a parenting plan set up for him to become the primary carer and the mother to get visitation rights. That way, the mother can't just demand the child whenever she wants to. It would have to be done on certain weekends or days as the court determines.
Can you still go to children's court?
absolutely, you should go as soon as possible.
All right, Thabo, you should go to Children's Court. James, you are our final caller. Hey, I tried to squeeze you in. Thank you so much. Hi.
Thank you very much.
Hey.
Quick one. Mamela, I have a child with my girlfriend.
Mm.
So we're no longer together. My daughter's 2 this year. Haven't seen her in 4 months, right?
Mm.
And I used to pay maintenance for her. I stopped paying maintenance solely because the one time she came to my place, she broke my property and she broke the car.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't need money to fix all those things. I didn't stop paying for maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've been asking to see the child. As a result, that she has now changed her number. So that's my first question. What do I need to do in that case? The second question is, what is the fair amount to pay for maintenance? The third one is, should I not stopped to pay for maintenance because I'm not seeing my daughter?
Okay, my understanding from Cheryl, you should not have stopped paying the maintenance, but I'm going to give her a chance to answer in 1 minute. Cheryl, you heard that, right?
I heard that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Basically, when she broke his property, he should have gone and opened up a case of destruction of property at the police station. He should not have stopped paying maintenance, and he should have gone... You should have gone to Children's Court, completed a Form 2 for an official parenting plan. Same answer as I always give.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So what does he do now? Because she's changed her number apparently and completely disappeared.
He will now have to employ a tracing agent to find her.
Oh, my word. Okay. So first he must find a private investigator to find her.
Correct.
Oh, James. You got that, Anne?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you so much, James. Thank you for giving us your call. And, oh, I'm so sorry about your situation. Thank you. Cheryl, thank you so much. I know we bombarded you with calls and questions, and we had another caller that was supposed to be with us, but unfortunately we can't take him. Thank you so much for joining us, Cheryl, and thank you for all your advice.
Pleasure. You're more than welcome.
Thank you very much. So that's it from us. For myself, Sutumea, I'm back tomorrow on Sidebar with Dr. Cindy Francel, and of course I will be standing in for the good doctor. For me, Sutumea, it is goodbye.
Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.